fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Hello, America. Welcome to Friday. Feels good to be on a Friday, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the lessons we should learn from the series on HBO called Chernobyl. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. You need to watch it with your kids. It's absolutely really well done. The Soviets are saying that it's all propaganda because Chernobyl, as we all know, was caused by the CIA, which shows that even without communism, they are still playing the same game. But in that movie, one of the things that said that stuck out to me was, why worry about something that isn't going to happen? The scientist looked at the KGB, the officer of the KGB who had said that to him, and said, my gosh, we should put that on our money. It's interesting. We have In God We Trust. And he's right. After watching Chernobyl, why worry about something that isn't going to happen? The state has become God. And so the state tells you what's going to happen and not. I want to start there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Woman in Michigan. She's at work. She gets a call from Simply Safe Home Security. Her alarm is going off. Ma'am, we need your permission to check everything here. There's a man in your house. Sure, yeah. It's probably just the landlord. Well, I don't know what the landlord looks like, but this guy broke in, and he's trying to fend off your dog with a lamp. She says, that's not my landlord. They call police, 911, but they get a priority 911 because they have eyes on the perpetrator. They have evidence that it is not just an alarm going off, but there's somebody in the house. Now, Simply Safe is the only group of people that do this. This puts you into the category of most corporate security. Corporate security has somebody watching those monitors all the time. So when they call, they say, we have eyes on. And you get three times the service. When your alarm system calls police, it goes to the bottom of the 911 list. But if there's eyes on and verification that something is in the house, it goes to the top of the list. And this is a really big deal. No one else does that. All right, Simply Safe. They have a huge deal going on right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. You'll get a free HD security camera when you order. That's $100 value at SimplySafeBeck.com. Get your free security camera at SimplySafeBeck.com. So why worry about something that isn't going to happen? And it's a good way to look at things. It's an easy way to live your life. It's why most of us don't really want to examine the truth about ourselves. You know, the hardest thing about being an alcoholic is if you want to get better, if you want to stop drinking, you have to really look at the hard truth about yourself. And that's not easy. I mean, I spent my whole life avoiding it. But I spent probably maybe 2 years in AA really avoiding it, knowing that I had to do it. I had to look inside of myself. And quite honestly, I was afraid there was nothing in there. I was afraid I would find nothing good, nothing special, nothing different, nothing. If I looked, then I would know who I really was. And I wasn't convinced I was a worthwhile guy. And so you avoid it. why did people say, why worry about something that isn't going to happen? The caliphate. We wouldn't have armed ISIS. I don't know if you remember this, but that's exactly what we were doing in Benghazi. We were running guns to the group of people that turned into ISIS. Well, don't worry about that, because the caliphate is stupid. It's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. So why worry about it? We're fighting this war right now. What are you trying to do? You fighting for the other side? No, I'm just telling you, a caliphate is coming. Why worry about a crash? We have systems. There's not going to be a crash. That's what everybody told me in 08 and 07 and 06. There's not going to be a housing crash, a banking collapse. That can't happen. Why worry about it? It's not going to happen. 9/11, these are just crazy cave dwellers, they told me in 1999. What, are you just trying to help Clinton? Who is this Osama bin Laden? He lives in a cave. Why worry about something that's not going to happen? Why worry about Russia? They say they're going to hack into our elections. They say that they're going to try to tear us apart from the inside. They've been telling us that for 10 years. It's not going to happen. Why worry about it? You worry about it because it might happen. And if you worry about it early enough, and I don't mean worry like sit around and go, oh, Jesus, it's going to happen. Instead, you say, okay, I'm going to take this threat seriously, and I'm going to make sure that I don't play into it. If we would have done that with Russia 5 years ago when we were talking on this program, as you know, when we were talking about Russia, we were telling you that Russia was going to hack in, well, not because we're some genius, because we take these people at their word, and that's what they said they would do. If we all would have taken that threat seriously, things would have changed. But again, we're not interested. We're not interested in the truth, maybe because we are so afraid to look into the bad things. We're so afraid to look into things that could happen. We're not doing self-examination. What we're doing is we're raising the flag even higher, some of us, saying America is the best. And you know what? It is. It really, truly is. But America has done some really horrible things as well. That doesn't take away from where we are if we learn from those mistakes. There is something great at the heart of America. There is something really profound at the heart of America. But until we risk looking for what it is, until we risk looking beyond the flag, beyond the trappings, we're never going to find it. I want to give you something that we shouldn't worry about. We should fix. And the worst thing we can do is mock a warning like this. The worst thing we can do is avoid looking at it. The worst thing we can do is avoid it for political reasons. And I'm going to show you with the documentary, or I'm sorry, the film Chernobyl, I'm going to show you how this is very similar to what we're doing right now. But let me give you just one topic. Ebola. We all know how deadly Ebola is. We all know that it's ground zero in the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Well, if you're not keeping up on Ebola news, which I don't, you know, I generally don't get the newsletter from Ebola.com, but if we were getting the daily newsletter, you would know that we are now looking at the biggest outbreak, the most deadly outbreak of Ebola yet. And where is it? It's centered in the Congo. However, it is spreading beyond the Congo. So here we are looking at a few facts. According to the World Health Organization, the confirmed cases of Ebola have exceeded 2,000 in the DRC. Now, I stand corrected. It's not the largest. It's the second largest, directly behind the 2014-26 epidemic. Do you remember what happened in 2014-2016? Somebody got onto a plane and it reached our shores. Luckily, we knew who that person was. We knew who those people were. And we cured them here in the United States because they were doctors. But we knew exactly who they were. And we quarantined them. Do you remember one of the planes that we had to get was a quarantine plane? So they were completely isolated in an isolation chamber in that airplane. Now, Ebola is spreading across Africa. It's no longer contained in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Yesterday, it was reported that it hopped the border over into Uganda. There was a young patient, 5 years old, that died, has two relatives that also tested positive. The Department of Border Patrol, now this is where it starts to get interesting for us. The Department of Border Patrol just apprehended a large group of people from Africa. Press release from the Border Patrol announced on May 31st that they had apprehended 116 people from Africa trying to cross the Mexican border. Now, of these, there was a large group or contingency of those from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Again, that's where Ebola is having its rebirth. And they are not the only people coming in from the DRC to the United States through Mexico. According to the agents assigned at the Eagle Pass Station, on June 5th, our Border Patrol arrested a group of 34 people from the continent of Africa. Since May 30th, more than 500 people from Africa have come in. These groups are primarily made up of family units from the Congo. Now, where are they? Well, we don't really know. We know some of them are in San Antonio. We also know that some of them are now in Portland, Maine. Another group has come in from the Congo, about 350 migrants. They came through Ecuador to our southern border. They came in. They're now saying that they, because they're fleeing a war zone, that they need asylum. The plan is for 350 of them to travel from San Antonio to Portland. That's Maine, by the way. But Portland, Maine said, please don't send us anymore. We're already stretched way beyond our capacity. So now they're looking for other cities that these migrants from the Congo can be sent to. Now, this doesn't mean these guys have Ebola. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't take them in if they are really truly fleeing from a war zone. This means we should not dismiss the fact that ISIS was in the Congo recently doing something we don't know what. And here's a group of 350 people from the Congo that found themselves able to get across our southern border. Somehow or another, they don't speak Spanish and they don't speak French, but they got onto a plane, they flew to Ecuador, they made it all the way through Mexico and across our border without speaking a word of the language. That's odd. The other concern, and this is where it really is, should be concerning, because we are screening so many people, the physicians at our border are overwhelmed. Ebola is difficult to catch. You have to isolate for at least 21 days. This is why we had something called Ellis Island. If you had a deadly disease, you were quarantined for a while to make sure if you were coming from a place with deadly disease that you weren't bringing it into the United States. But we're not doing that anymore. And if anyone thinks that ISIS just wouldn't weaponize people, you're out of your mind. But why worry about things that are not going to happen? That's going to be called hateful. That's going to be called a fear-mongering. That's going to be called everything other than what it is. a truthful look at the facts and a warning that it may not be these people. It probably isn't. But we should be screening for Ebola. And we have a problem on the border. This is a catastrophe of global significance. Just waiting to happen. But we have to be willing to face the truth. But truth is a hard thing. We're going to get to that coming up in just a second. The lessons we learned from Ebola. You spend more time in your office chair than you do in your car. And what's the first thing you do when you get in the car? If somebody else has driven your car, the first thing you do is adjust the seat, and you adjust it so you are comfortable. Your back is comfortable. Well, I tell you, we spend more time in our office chairs than we do in our cars, and you need a great chair, and I've got one for you. It's called the X-Chair. XChairBeck.com. If you go there right now at XChairBeck.com, you're going to save $100 off this chair. You're going to be able to finance it if you care to. I think it's about $30 a month if you wanted to finance it. If you use the promo code XWheels, you're going to receive a free set of new X-Wheels. These are really highly engineered wheels that are just really super smooth. This is the best chair I've ever sat in. And honestly, it's more of a, well, it's a great office chair because it gets your posture right and you're really comfortable. But it's also, I know this sounds weird to say this about an office chair, but it is really more of a lazy boy than anything else. You can recline in this, and I could watch movies in this chair. It is a great, great chair. XChairBeck.com. Try it for yourself, 30-day money-back guarantee, or call 844-4X-CHAIR, 844-4X-CHAIR, or XChairBeck.com. You'll get $100 off and use the promo code XWheels. 10 seconds, station ID. Let's go to some clips. Sarah, what do we have for clips? I'd like to get the testimony. What do we have for clips? What do you have ready? You have one in. All right. So here's clip one. I don't know by
the sluice gate valve here. The valve will be difficult to operate, so we'll need three men. We'll need to know the basement layout. And of course, any volunteers will be rewarded. A yearly stipend of 400 rubles. And for those of you working in reactors 1 and 2 promotions.
Why are reactors 1 and 2 still operating at all? My friend was a security guard that night, and she's now dying. And we've all heard about the firemen. And now you want us to swim underneath a burning reactor. Do you even know how contaminated it is?
I don't have an exact number.
You don't need an exact number to know if it will kill us. But you can't even tell us that. Why should we do this? For what, 400 rubles?
You'll do it because it must be done. You'll do it, because nobody else can. And if you don't, millions will die.
Okay, stop here for a second. Here they are. They're talking to the people that work at the plant. And up until this point, everybody is being told, there's nothing to worry about. It's no big deal. But everybody knows that's not true. Everybody knows that's not true. But everybody is just going along with it because that's what the state says. And so, well, let's just go along with it. Finally, this group of engineers in the plant, they have to go turn off the water. And they know they're not getting the truth. And the lead scientist, who was the one who said, hey, we need you to go turn these valves off. He doesn't know what to do because he's not comfortable telling people lies. So he's just kind of leaving it open. Well, I don't know for sure. But they know. If you live in a system of lies, you know. You could recognize lies pretty quickly. So the guy from the Central Committee, which is the only one that can really kind of, emphasis, tell the truth without getting in trouble, he stands up and he says it has to be done. Now, here's what they didn't say. Now, think of this. You come and say, hey, I'm going to give you an extra $1,000 bonus if you go swim under this nuclear reactor. You're not going to do it for that. I want you to go there and you're going to be fine. You know it's a lie. You're not going to do it. If you say millions will die, maybe a couple of people will stand up. But if they would have told them the truth, here's the thing. Everyone from Portland to China, I'm sorry, not Portland, everyone from Poland to China, they might die. Millions and millions and millions are going to die. And if we don't do this quickly, it's going to react like a bomb. And it's going to flatten everything. Everybody in Russia, we're all going to die. We have to do this. How many Americans, how many Russians would volunteer and say, I'll stop that. It'll save my family.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The truth matters. Sponsor of this half hour is realestateagentsitrust.com. Real Estate Agents I Trust. Every time you try to buy or sell a home, it can be a very frustrating experience unless you have experience with the real estate agent that you are that you've hired. If you have experience with them, you know you can trust them, and it's great. Most of us don't know how to hire a real estate agent, and this is the most important investment of our lives, and we hand it off to somebody that, you know, maybe is a cousin, maybe it's somebody that somebody else knows. We need a vetting process. We need to be able to know what we're looking for with a real estate agent. And that's what realestateagentsitrust.com does. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, we've already done all the vetting. We found the best real estate agents in your area. These are the people who are the top sellers in the area. They're the people with values like yours. They're the people who sell more houses than anybody else and can get yours sold on time and for the most amount of money because they know your area. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Check out blazetv.com. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. You will be able to get $10 off with the promo code Glenn. Get support conservative content now.
The reason why I want to spend some time on Chernobyl today is because it shows us our future. And what Chernobyl is really all about is just lies. That's all it's about. Why did Chernobyl happen? Lies. What happened at Chernobyl it was completely preventable if the state didn't have to be supreme. If the state was actually looking for the truth and didn't care how it looked, okay? Or if it was held responsible for anything. But it wasn't. It was God. And so it could never make a mistake and it could never look bad. And so what happened was scientists before Chernobyl, they went in and they started looking at these reactors and they found one flaw with the reactor. And it was a system that if it was extremely under pressure, you were running diagnostics, you were putting it greatly under pressure and, you know, X, Y, and Z happen, and then you pushed the emergency button because it started to spiral out of control, which stopped the nuclear reaction. If you would have pushed that emergency button then, it makes the reactor a bomb, okay? But as they found this years before Chernobyl, the state and the KGB said, don't talk about that. It's never going to happen. Why worry about it? It's never going to happen. So that's state classified. That's a state secret. No need to tell these nuclear people that could turn into a bomb. Well, so now you've got all these reactors all the same. And if this sequence happens, it turns into a bomb and no one knows it. So what happens? Well, they intentionally put Chernobyl under stress, a stress test. And they create these conditions that they don't know is arming a bomb. And so when everything starts to go wrong, they push that button and the reactor explodes. Okay. So this, the main investigator of Chernobyl, who, as you would see at the very first episode, ends up killing himself 2 years on the anniversary of Chernobyl. He's the guy who was part of the team that buried this truth. And he did it because he was a good communist. And he did it because he was a good Soviet system, a Soviet citizen. And he also believed it couldn't happen. Well, he was the guy picked by the Central Committee to go in and look at Chernobyl. And, you know, halfway through this series, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that it was this series of events that he hid that actually caused it. So he decides, I have to tell the truth in open court. Well, nobody wants to hear this. So he testifies and he does the worst thing he could possibly do. And that's testify to the Central Committee in open court, as open as it was back then, an open court. It was our fault. It was the Soviet system's fault. We were lying. And eventually lies come back to pay off. Every lie incurs a debt, and that debt has to be paid. So after his testimony, he only did it because he hoped that all the reactors would be warned so it wouldn't happen again. Well, he is pulled into a room after his testimony, and the head of the KGB comes in, and he has a little chat with him. Sarah? Do we have that clip?
Valery Alexeyevich Legasov, son of Alexei Legasov, head of Ideological Compliance Central Committee. Do you know what your father did there?
Yes.
As a student, you had a leadership position in Komsomol, communist youth, correct?
You already know.
Answer the question.
Yes.
At the Kachatov Institute, you were the Communist Party secretary. In that position, you limited the promotion of Jewish scientists.
Yes.
To curry favor with Kremlin officials. You're one of us, Legasov. I can do anything I want with you. But what I want the most is for you to know that I know. You're not brave. You're not heroic. You're just a dying man who forgot himself.
I know who I am. I know what I've done. In a just world, I'd be shot for my lies, but not for this, not for the truth.
Scientists. And your idiot obsession with reasons. When the bullet hits your skull, what will it matter? Why? No one's getting shot, Legasov. The whole world saw you in the air. It would be embarrassing to kill you now. And for what? Your testimony today will not be accepted by the state. It will not be disseminated in the press. It never happened. No. You will live, however long you have, but not as a scientist, not anymore. You keep your title and your office, but no duties, no authority, no friends. No one will talk to you. No one will listen to you. Other men, lesser men, will receive credit for the things you have done. Your legacy is now their legacy. You'll live long enough to see that. What role did Chubina play in this?
None. He didn't know what I was going to say.
What role did Homyuk play in this?
None. She didn't know either.
After all you've said and done today,
It would be curious if you chose this moment to lie.
I would think a man of your experience would know a lie when he hears one.
You will not meet or communicate with either one of them ever again. You will not communicate with anyone about Chernobyl ever again. You will remain so immaterial to the world around you that when you finally do die, it will be exceedingly hard to know that you ever lived at all.
And if I refuse?
Why worry about something that isn't going to happen?
Why worry about something that isn't going to happen? Oh, that's perfect. They should put that on our money.
So here he is, this guy, and I just want to show you what just what happened. And tell me if you see any of these signs happening in our own society. People up at the top saying, you're not brave. You're not heroic. You've been part of this thing the whole time. You just forgot yourself. You're a man who forgot himself. Meaning, you're a man who's been bad this whole time, and you forgot that you are really a bad person. When indeed, the story is that he was a guy who was a good guy who then got sucked into the system and became that guy, one of them, and then he remembered who he was. He wasn't that. He was a good guy. You're just a weak man who just forgot who he was. You're weak. Then they try to erase him. You're inconsequential. By the time we're done, no one will ever know that you were born. Let me ask you a question. Why in 2010? Why was there no pictures in Time magazine of the Tea Party movement? In Time magazine, in the year in review, if I recall right, there wasn't a single picture of the Tea Party. In the year in review, it was huge. Because by the time you're done, the state is telling you, the statists are telling you, it'd be hard to even prove you were alive. But you know what? Even though he committed suicide 2 years later, he made tapes of what the truth was. Those tapes were eventually disseminated. Because they were snuck out and they started to go everywhere, he did change things, and we do know that he lived today. Because lies always crumble everything. Gorbachev wrote in 2006 that it was Chernobyl that was really the end of the Soviet Union. I think that's because all of the lies came home to roost. Let me give you one more clip. And this, again, is the voice of the scientist who just risked his life to tell the truth. And he says this.
To be a scientist is to be naive. We are so focused on our search for truth, we fail to consider how few actually want us to find it. But it is always there. Whether we see it or not, whether we choose to or not. The truth doesn't care about our needs or wants. It doesn't care about our governments, our ideologies, our religions. It will lie in wait for all time. And this, at last, is the gift of Chernobyl. Where I once would fear the cost of truth, now I only ask, what is the cost of lies?
I want you to watch Chernobyl with your family. It's 5 episodes. It's great. It's great history. It's really well done. And I want you to just make mental notes to yourself. Wow, are we headed in that direction or away from that? Dedicate yourself to the truth, because the cost of lies is too great, because it will come back. I find Chernobyl a disturbing story because of the direction we're headed. But in the end, a story of hope, because there always will be a few people that are willing to stand up for the truth. By the way, speaking of that, we have two scientists that are going to be on the podcast this weekend, Boghossian and Lindsay. And this is what we're talking about. This is the first time we've ever had two people on the podcast at once. I think this is my favorite podcast we've done. We've done about 50 of these, and it's hard to choose because there are really some great podcasts, but this one was fascinating because they're coming from a different side. They're coming from the left. They don't agree with the things that I necessarily believe in, but they're not statists, and they believe in the truth, and they are on the front lines of trying to get people in the universities and everything else to recognize the truth. And they are just like this scientist we just heard from the KGB. By the time we're done with you, it'll be hard to even know that you were alive. These guys are the modern day equivalent of those scientists over in Chernobyl who are trying to tell the truth. It's a great podcast. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to the Glenn Beck podcast. Make sure that you rate and review it, because that changes the algorithm and it helps other people discover it. So it comes out every Saturday. This Saturday, it's Dr. Lindsay and Boghossian on Finding the Truth. Fascinating. That's tomorrow on the Glenn Beck podcast.
Glenn, quickly, you did say that you wanted people to watch Chernobyl with their families. We should probably advise there's an awfully high amount of skin being burned off for some family situations.
I should say, yeah. You don't want to watch it. You don't want to watch it with little kids or sensitive kids, because it's,
yeah.
I mean, what radiation does to bodies, and they show it, it is.
Ugh.
Holy cow.
Tough to watch.
Holy
tough to watch.
Cow.
So maybe not Father's Day treat for your 6-year-old. Just saying.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. Thank you. Parental guidance is suggested. All right, we're going on a cruise next spring, and we would love for you to go there. You can, you know, just be with Stu the whole time and just gorge yourself on Italian food to your heart's content. You can join Stu making fun of me and Bill O'Reilly and Rabbi Lappin. Go ahead, make fun of the rabbi.
I would never.
And David Barton.
Mm-hmm. They're too high in the area of respect. But you and Bill, I mean, right. Bill's coming up next hour. We can say whatever we want about them.
You can decide to spend the time with Lisa, Stu's wife, or my wife, probably at the pool. Or you can go and learn history with Bill and David Barton and Rabbi Lappin and myself as we go to Venice, we go to Greece, and we go to the Holy Land, Israel. That's next spring. You don't want to miss it. All airfare, all gratuities, everything. You never need to take your wallet out. So just get on board before it sails. That's next spring. We'd love to share this experience. Just go to comesailaway.com. That's comesailaway.com. Get all of the details as we cruise through history. Comesailaway.com. You know, Chernobyl, Stu, is amazing because it's not only a great story about Chernobyl, which I've always been fascinated by, but it's also it's bizarre because it's almost like House of Cards as well.
Yeah, it shows that, you know, once you're in these power circles, when you decide at some point to get a conscience and stop doing the terrible things you've been doing, it's really hard to escape, because they can say to you, look, we know who you are. You're the same person. You've done all the things we've done. You're no better than us.
Right. And we have all the dirt on you. Mm-hmm. We'll destroy you.
Yeah.
There's a group of us and you. We'll destroy you. You're done. And it's quite fascinating. All right. Bill O'Reilly is coming up next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Let's not beat around the bush. Let's get right to it. Bill O'Reilly in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I got a lot to lot to talk to him about today. All right, you've heard millions of ads for mattresses that are all saying, oh, you gotta try it out and you've gotta get the right mattress for you. And it's true. But we spend a lot of time sitting in our chair at our office and we don't think, you know, two thoughts about the chair that we're sitting in. I want you to try out an X chair. Go to xchairbeck.com. You'll get a 30-day money-back trial because I could talk to you about this forever. And quite honestly, I understand. People will listen to this and, you know, some people will be like, well, but they're paying him to say that. I don't take any clients that I don't believe in. I never, ever would endorse something that I just don't believe in because it doesn't work. Lies don't work out in the end. They just don't work out in the end. But I understand. You're skeptical. So try it out. Try it out for 30 days yourself. Money back guarantee. You're going to love this chair as much as I do. It is a great chair. Great for office. Great for your home office. It's xchairbeck.com. Really comfortable. xchairbeck.com. Get $100 off at that web address right now. Plus, if you use the promo code XWheels, you're going to get the new ball bearings, these new X wheels that are super, super smooth. It's a chair unlike any other chair I've ever been in. 844-4X-CHAIR. Call 844-4X-CHAIR or go online at xchairbeck.com. Oh, yeah. Bill O'Reilly is joining us now from the Bill O'Reilly Batcave, someplace deep in the heart of New England. Hello, how are you, Bill?
I'm okay, Beck. I am all right. It's a nice day here in the Northeast, so I'm calm right now, but I don't expect that to continue much longer.
No, you're probably about 10 minutes from blowing a gasket right. On this program. So let's start with this. How could anyone possibly vote for Donald Trump when Joe Biden is promising to cure cancer?
Yeah, that's a pretty strong promise. but you know what? I'm not going to get in. I'm going to cover this race in a whole different way than I think in any political race has been ever covered. I'm not going to nitpick either of these guys, and I still believe that Biden will be the nominee. I'm going to give you a lot of why, not what, a lot of why. And Biden basically was responding to a question about his son who died from cancer, and he got emotional, as he always does, and he says, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can, and we're going to cure cancer if I'm elected president. I don't hold that against him, and I don't mock him for it. What I was much more disturbed about was his abortion flip. I thought that was horrible, and I can't understand these people. I really can't. Do you have no conscience at all, no core belief system? If you do change something like that, you must explain it. You must.
So
and they don't
give me the why. Give me the why on that. Why do you think he changed?
Because he fears the far left will tear him to pieces in the primary process, and he wants them off his back. It's as simple as that.
Let's change gears a little. Let's go to the president. The president. They've been claiming this week that he is putting children in internment camps.
Of course. For us. Again, and this is, I don't know, how can I phrase this? We live in a nation, a country, the United States, where truth really doesn't matter anymore. I think that everybody has got to come to grips with that. There are selective people who tell the truth. You do, I do, and, you know, okay, this is self-aggrandizement, but I got a record, and so do you. 45 years I've been doing news and analysis, and I've never, ever been brought up and said, you did something fraudulent, you did something that was deceitful on purpose, never. But anyway, you're basically in a country where truth doesn't matter, and the zealots and partisans know it. So they can make any outrageous claim they want about anything, and they know they're not going to be called on it. So that you have a senator in the United States, Kirsten Gillibrand, who comes out this week and says, you know what? No judge should ever sit on a bench if that judge has a pro-life belief, because that judge is the same as a racist. Now, this woman said that, all right? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know if she could have continued in the Senate after a statement like that. Now, wasn't even reported. Wasn't even reported, because truth doesn't matter anymore. We're beyond outrage. We're beyond all of that. And you know, I just finished up the Trump book this week, and one of the themes about people were always asking, how did he do it? How did he get away with all this? How did he get away with the Access Hollywood tape? How? And basically comes down to, we're numb. We're numb as a people. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, I mean, Carl Bernstein get on CNN, whose numbers are down 55%, by the way. I hope we'll talk about that, because I set you up on
this. We will.
2 years ago.
No, we will.
Anyway, you have a country that basically shrugs off everything. Everything. They just shrug it off. I mean, he said, like, okay, so we're in it. Yeah, I put him in cages. No, you know what he did? He hung those Honduran kids on a clothesline. Didn't you see that? And everybody, what? Yeah, oh. it's Mad Magazine. That's what our country has turned into.
So Bill, I'm going to get to the ratings here in a second, but let me jump to the end on the ratings. We went over the ratings yesterday of CNN, and they are imploding, and I want to get to that in a second, but answer this specifically before we get to the ratings. Nobody's watching. And so it's like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, doesn't make
nobody
a sound.
Nobody
hears it. And yet you feel like, so many people in the media, I think, feel like they have to answer these charges. But nobody is really listening to those charges. So should we in the media on the right just ignore them? Because nobody but people trapped in an airport, and I think those in nursing homes, are watching.
Listen, it just depends. You know, I ignore about 80% of it. Look, I'm doing a voluminous amount of commentary a week now on my podcast, on radio. I mean, I'm just like, my head's blowing off here. And stuff is coming across my desk every hour on the hour. But you're right. 80% of it, I just go, well, nobody knows Van Jones, so why would I even bother? Okay,
right.
And so, you know, a guy down at the Dairy Queen could be jumping up and down in the parking lot, and it's kind of akin, word of the day for stew, akin to Van Jones, whatever he's staying that night. And I'm not picking on him; he's not nearly.
No,
the
I know. We were talking about this earlier.
Why are we spotlighting these people who have no influence and nobody listens to them?
And we're doing the same thing on social media. I mean, these people, we're only really meant to know a certain number of people. And we've all, you know, had these crazy people living around us, but they were just the people we would wave to as we pass by on our street. And we'd be like, hey, Bill, we didn't know anything about Bill. Bill could have been in the Klan. We didn't know it, you know. And when you start talking to him, then you're like, then you go home and you're like, okay, nobody in the house talked to Bill because Bill is crazy. Okay. But now Bill has a show, a podcast that nobody listens to, but we're giving him power by doing something other than,
yeah,
hey, by the way,
publicity, you know, you're giving him attention. It's called,
correct.
What is it called? It's called clickbait. I think that's what it is. I try to stay away from the stuff. It's clickbait. Okay, so this is, you know, they're hanging their migrant kids from the clothesline. Oh, I gotta see that. And then when you read it, there's nothing to it. If somebody just says it, pulls it out of the air. But all of this stuff damages people. I mean, that the desensitizing of the younger American, the American below 50 years of age, desensitized in the sense that, you know, we want to go in and, you know, we'll do this. You want to use heroin? Come on, not your fault. You go use that heroin if you want to. You'd want to destroy your kids by becoming addicted to alcohol? It's not your fault. Don't worry about the little kids. I mean, you know, we'll get you some treatment. And, you know, we're sitting there going, this used to be a horror. It used to be if you neglected your children and became a heroin addict, you were a pariah. Not anymore.
Okay, word of the day, horror, which I believe is different than horror, because the word horror does not have an A in it.
Are you making fun of my New York accent? Is that what you're
yes,
doing?
Yes, I really am. I mean, yes, there's no A in that.
You are a man without a town. No one knows
right.
where you come from. All
right? That's right.
People who... Montana.
Right, people like you who have ideas. There's no R in idea.
I am an authentic American. All right? Proud of my Levittown
right.
upbringing. Okay.
Right. Right.
So now you
right,
just
right.
lost about I don't know
right.
400,000 or 500,000 viewers. You said, "Hey, you ain't
yeah,
making fun of me."
I know. They're all like, "What the horror? What a horror show!" Anyway, back with Bill O'Reilly in 1 minute. Stand by. Sixty seconds, and we're back to Bill O'Reilly. None of us like being manipulated, especially when it's done on the internet. It's creepy. And when you do a search online, then you're fed a barrage of ads and stories by companies who are trying to sell you something. It is very personal, and it's personal infringement, and it can be relentless. And I will tell you, this leads to something we should talk about one day, where you're not going to know. You're going to be manipulated by these algorithms, and you won't know where you begin and the algorithm ends. You won't know the chicken or the egg. It is growing so sophisticated. This is one of the reasons why you don't want people tracking you online, because their job is to sell you stuff. As I try to sell you something, I didn't miss the irony here. But they're trying to sell you something, and they're going to get to know you because they track you. And so they're going to know exactly how to worm their way in. And so when they present an ad to you, eventually you're like, I've got to have that. Now, not all VPNs are a truly private network, but Norton Secure VPN does not log your online activity and app usage. They don't sell anything to anybody. It is a truly private network. This is really important for the future. Get Norton Secure VPN right now and enjoy the convenience of the connected world without the worries of online privacy or security. Just head to Norton.com/VPN. Protection starts at $3.33 a month. That's Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID, and back to Bill. So, Bill, I know that you said that 2 years ago you came to me and said, you know, the media is just going to start to melt down. And it's like I said to you 8 years ago when I left Fox, this is all going to burn down. This is not going to last. And we're seeing it now. And CNN is the brightest fire among all of the fires that are out there.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. And when people are buying a product, no matter what the product is, when they're buying the product and then the product disappoints them, they don't buy it anymore. It's as simple as that. That's what capitalism is. So at one time, you had a very vibrant cable news industry and network news industry, and people got information that they believed. And most of it was true when I first began. Now, most of it's not true. And that very simple reversal has led to the flight from cable news. And if you didn't have Donald Trump, it would be 100 times worse than it is now. It would be ESPN. I always reuse ESPN as your example. At one time, it was a titan, and it has lost everything. Now, AT&T has bought CNN, and they have a different management over there. I believe AT&T is very fearful that Donald Trump is going to hurt it. You are going to see a management change at CNN. They'll never admit that they destroyed their own network. And you can imagine, CNN has the best dial position. So in my cable system, it's on channel, a channel that I can access very easily. has the best brand. It's in every airport. They buy their way in there. And
it's international.
It's getting below a million viewers for every single show it has. That and on the demographic, that means the people ages 25 to 54, which the advertisers like, they are now below 200,000. You could put four parakeets on in two separate cages, okay? Four parakeets, right? And cut back two cameras to each cage and see what the parakeets were doing and saying for an hour and get more viewers than they have.
Right. And in a sweeps week, you just introduce a cat at the bottom of the cage. That's, yeah, you know, and you got them.
No labor costs for the parakeets, okay? So you wipe that out, all right? You don't have to have a writer. You all you have to do is the director goes, cage one, boom, there are the parakeets. I'm telling you, people look at me, you could get more viewers with four parakeets than you do with a whole big production on a CNN hour.
So what was the problem? Here's my question. When you look at the CNN ratings, they tried to play it as they are completely neutral. They're the ones that are going to be the arbiter of the truth.
I know. Even today, they don't admit. They're saying we're not liberal. We're not this. And you're just looking at them and you're going, okay. So that is like, here's what that is like. That is like Derek Jeter saying, I didn't play for the Yankees. Okay?
Right.
Those 18 years you saw me in the uniform out there on the field, that wasn't me. He's just saying, oh.
So Bill, what really happened, though? Did the CNN, because MSNBC is going down, but not nearly at the rate of CNN.
No, they're going down and pretty fast. Maddow is really in trouble. Here's what happened. So MSNBC never got a rating for 18 years, and they were always the third, and everyone laughed at them.
Right,
and it was like kick sand in their face. Then Trump came on the scene, and they said, oh, we're going to hate Trump every hour, on the hour, every way we can do it. And we'll get all the people who hate Trump to watch us. And it worked to some extent. And they came up, and they passed CNN because they could hate Trump better than CNN. All right? So...
Right.
A guy, what's a guy at 10 o'clock? O'Donnell, right? Okay. He hates better.
No idea.
Right. He hates Trump better than Wolf Blitzer hates him or Anderson Cooper. So they just out-hated CNN because CNN did the same thing, exactly the same thing. And the irony of it, and I get into the book extensively about this, is that the head of CNN, Jeff Zucker, was once Trump's best buddy. Because Zucker put together The Apprentice on NBC and then turned on Trump and said, okay, we're going to hate him. Now, once you hate someone all the time, it gets boring. It just gets boring. All right, we know you're going to hate him. What are you going to hate him for today? Well, we hate him because we don't like his shoes. Oh, we don't like him. Oh, he hung the migrant kids out. You know, it's like, why am I watching this? And that's what happened. And just people got tired and bored. And Fox News is going down, too, because it used to be at Fox News, you didn't know what was going to happen. There was a lot of energy and excitement, and now you do know what's going to happen. Trump is the greatest. Trump is the best. We love Trump. And, you know, there are some exceptions on the Fox News channel, but most of it is we like him. We like him. We like him. Now, the people who do like Trump, they have stayed with Fox News, but the what I call discretionary viewers, which is most of America, they said, okay, we know what we're going to get. So that's why the whole thing is collapsing. Now, I love it when there's
the
a
role
because my wisdom is so good that you guys
don't know. It's
jeez,
it's
I just don't know what to say.
So the role of the new media in the collapse.
Well, there is a very powerful incentive for many Americans who are addicted to the devices not to do anything, not to watch television, not to go to the movies, not to listen to, you know, I mean, they have the earbuds in the ear, but they're certainly not buying the music. So there's an incentive for those of us who are addicted to devices. I put the number at 50 to 60% of the whole population. That's how bad it is. All right. Not to do anything. I mean, because we have everything in our hand, and we have the game. You know, we gotta kill those zombies. We gotta get them, man. Here they're coming at us
right.
again.
So what do you think's gonna?
Big,
so what do you think? When you say that, because I agree with you that most people they're fair and they don't like this game and they're tired of it.
They're tired of
you
it.
Have Alan. Right. You have Alan Dershowitz coming out saying he'll vote for Biden. Now, he's been called every name under the sun because he's a big Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's a constitutionalist, you know, that was standing up for what he felt was right. He now comes out and says he's for Biden. I don't want to get into the politics of that. When I come back, I want to ask you, what do you think that says about that voter that is sick of both sides? How is this going to play out with Donald Trump? And is Sleepy Joe actually doing the right thing by kind of playing it low and low key? I'd love to hear your opinion on this, on how you think things might play out.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
This half hour is Simply Safe security system. Keep the bad guys out of your house, and they'll deliver 911 3.5 times faster. That's saying something. And the reason why they can claim that is because they have something that no one else has unless you're into corporate security, and that is eyes on camera. So when your alarm is triggered, it automatically calls 911. Okay. But it doesn't have that system of checking. So when the alarm goes off, nobody is watching the camera to go, wait a minute, what just happened? So when police get a 911 call, it's usually from an alarm that's been tripped accidentally. And so it goes to the bottom of the 911 calls. However, because Simply Safe has the cameras, when the alarm is tripped, they can see, yes, there's a problem. There is a fire. There is a burglar in the house. You get pushed to the top of the 911 list only from Simply Safe. SimplySafeBeck.com. You'll also get a $100 HD camera free. That's a $100 value at SimplySafeBeck.com.
You can get commentary all week at BillO'Reilly.com. And, of course, get the BlazeTV.com as well. BlazeTV.com/Glenn is the place to go. Use the promo code Glenn. Save $10.
Is the Glenn Beck Program. It's Friday, which means Mr. Bill O'Reilly is with us today. And, Bill, I want to take you through not one of my theories, one of my fears. And one of my fears is that Donald Trump was custom built for Hillary Clinton and somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker, who are just really unlikable. You have other people, and we can disagree or not on whether these are likable. But I think to the average person who is not connected to the day to day and just one of those people who are just like, you know, I'm tired of all of this. You have Buttigieg, maybe Harris, and maybe Biden that are they'll look like, oh, you know what? It's grandpa. And I know Biden, even though you don't, I know him. I trust him. He's fine. Is Trump going to be able to maneuver and rebuild his system, or is it even going to be necessary if he runs against Biden and Biden doesn't play mean?
Wow, that was some question, Beck. I'm still processing it, but I'm going to give you an answer that you and Stu are going to love. But first of all, I have to ask you, give me 2 minutes at the end of our segment here, talk about Father's Day. Okay, so Donald Trump wants to be reelected, obviously, and he needs 66 million votes to be reelected. And that's what he needs, all right? He got 63 last time, so he's three light. However, you've got to think that there's 10% that who voted for Trump last time and may not vote for him again for a variety of reasons. The tax thing didn't help them. They don't like his turbulence factor, whatever it may be. So Trump is looking at about a 8 to 10 million vote persuasion factor. You've got to persuade those people to vote for him if he wants to be reelected. Now, that is taking into account that his Democratic opponent will run a very astute campaign, an effective campaign. Kamala Harris cannot do that. She's already radicalized herself, so she's not going to be the nominee.
Okay.
So
okay.
The only one who could run that kind of a campaign, an efficient campaign that would galvanize enough voters to overcome the 60 million or so that Trump already has, is Biden. Now, the Sharpies know that. The money men in the DNC, the Podestas of the world, these people, they know that. They know that Buttigieg can't get name recognition to the extent where he's going to get 60 million votes. It's impossible. So this is a big charade. This is a big game. All these 45 debates they're going to have over the next 14 months. And Biden knows, too. But Biden's problem is that people don't trust him. All right? Because he has not done anything his entire life to earn that trust. Not one thing. The second big problem he has is that African Americans, they, you know, all right, he was VP to our guy, Barack Obama, who they still love. All right? Now, if Obama would come up big time for Biden, that might be something. But right now, Biden's looking at the Hillary Clinton factor, where 800,000 fewer African Americans voted for Hillary Clinton than they did for Barack Obama. That's what he's looking at. So I think the odds are in Donald Trump's favor. However, he's so volatile that anything can happen at any time. And that's why the polling is the way it is, because people, they haven't made up their minds yet. They're waiting to see.
What's the most important thing Donald Trump can do right now?
I suggested to the president on BillO'Reilly.com, and I know he gets what I say. He sees it, that he change a little bit because he's president. Let me give you a very vivid example. That even is Stu still awake? By the way, is he?
Slightly, yes, I am, Bill.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a vivid example of how Donald Trump should change. So he's in Normandy. He's got Laura Ingraham in front of him, and Laura Ingraham is doing her job and says, Nancy Pelosi says you should be in jail. What do you say, Mr. President? Sitting in Normandy, right in the cemetery, Ingraham tees him up. So he wails on Pelosi, right? Wrong. What he should have done was this. Should have looked Laura in the eye and said, Laura, in about a half an hour, when I leave the cemetery, I'm going to address that question, and I will tell you exactly what I think of it. But right now, then he pivots his head and he looks into the camera. I don't want to do any political stuff. I just want to tell everyone in America and around the world how proud I am to be the president of the United States. And
is he capable of doing that? Is he capable of doing that?
If he was directed, he could have done it. Because he's a smart guy. All right, people underestimate his intelligence, but no one steers him in that direction, and he's not disciplined enough to stop and think, maybe this isn't the right time to rip up Nancy Pelosi. Maybe I take advantage of my
presidential
position.
Who does he trust, Bill O'Reilly?
No one. Donald Trump doesn't trust anyone. And you will see that in my book. You will see he does not trust anyone on this planet. Now, he has confidants and he has his children who are very loyal to him, and he loves them very dearly. But total trust, no one. And you know where
he got that from? Is there anybody that you can think of that could be around him, that could advise him, that he would take that direction from?
I'm not sure about that. I think that he underestimates his position as president of the United States. He's president. He can make very profound statements that will affect people. And he could have done that in Normandy. But he chose not to.
Let me go to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She hadn't had a press conference in 90 days, and yet somehow the world still turns. And, you know, she's been called every name under the sun. She really became more of an advisor than a press secretary towards the end. What's the impact of her leaving?
I think it's big. I think she's a nice woman. Don't know her all that well, but from people I do know, it all comes back to that she is not this vicious, backstabbing Washington creature that most or many press secretaries are. I think that she saw the world the way it is, was not ideological and, you know, crazed. So I think that it'll be a big loss. But Donald Trump doesn't need a press secretary or a media advisor. He's going to do exactly what he wants to do.
Right.
And that's it. And he feels that he is the master of the media. And boy, if you look at the, you know, if you look at the record, he's right. I get into this big time. But I think Sanders is a loss for the Trump administration. Be interesting to see who puts in there.
Bill, before you, I know you're going to get into Father's Day here in a moment, but let me take you back a little bit first to Mother's Day, which my mom had another Mother's Day the other day when she went to her mailbox and got a signed book, Killing the SS, from Bill O'Reilly.
See, Stu, I'm a man of my word.
You are.
Mary Ann, right?
Anne Marie, but you know, it's close.
Anne Marie, okay. Mm-hmm,
yep,
close.
Very close.
Close, I'm old.
And that's okay.
I got the two names backwards.
Okay? Well, thank you very much for doing that. She was very, very excited about it. I do believe it's the first book about dead Nazis she's ever been sent in her life, and you can take that to the bank for the rest of her life.
It'll be an uplift for her.
It is.
So, Bill, here it is Father's Day. Here it is Father's Day. Will you send my dad a book?
Here's my Father's Day.
Will you send my dad a book?
Absolutely. Just tell Makita, my assistant, who's been with me for 27 years. I mean, I'm happy to do that. But here's my deal on Father.
You can't. My father's dead, but thanks for bringing that up.
No, I can still, channel.
So close to Father's Day.
I can channel that. I have ways to do that. I can get there right
Okay,
up
all right. All right. Thanks for bringing up that hurtful moment that's so close to Father's Day. But go ahead, sell your books.
All right, fathers are underestimated. Okay, look, if you compare Mother's Day and the mania on Mother's Day to Father's Day, it's not even in the same stratosphere. So mom, it's mom. We got this is for mom, flowers for mom, dinner for mom, and dad, and here's a tie. Okay, so we know dads really, even on their day, don't get what moms get. And I get it. I mean, look, if you're going to compare Mrs. Cleaver, June Cleaver, to Ward. No, Mrs. Cleaver gets all this stuff, all right? This is a Leave It to Beaver reference that no one under the age of 40 gets. Anyway, I think that, and I was thinking about this the other day, that the crews that you put together, Beck, if you have a father that's elderly or a grandfather or something, and you can pool, you know, four or five kids, you send them on this cruise. Because this honors your father. And, you know, it's a legacy history tour to the Holy Land and to Greece and to, you know, other places. And this is such a perfect gift and would blow your father or grandfather away. And I'm doing this not for commercial reasons, but I was thinking about that. You know, if my father were alive and I gave him a gift like this, I mean, it's one of those lifetime things. And I think people should think about it. Honor your father. Honor him. And this is a very good way to do it.
That's very nice of you, Bill. It's very nice of you.
But it's true. Is it not?
Well, it is. It is, actually. You're making me feel guilty because I should do that for my wife's father. But
you didn't think of it because I'm so much smarter than you. See, that's what happened.
It's a fair point. Glenn.
Well, now I won't
Happy
do
Father's
it just out of
Day,
spite.
Beth. I know that I know your
Happy
kids
Father's
love
Day
you.
To you too, Bill.
I know your kids love
My
you
kids.
And have a great day. And I always look forward to talking to you guys every week.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks so much,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, guys.
Talk
see
to you.
Next
bye.
You bye. There we go.
All right, let's get to our sponsor. Our sponsor this half hour is 23andMe, another father's gift idea. What I really want from my kids for Father's Day is really nothing. And I hated this.
I don't want anything.
But I'm actually getting now to the age to where I think that's true. They really didn't want anything. Because all I want is time with my kids. I've been thinking about my two older kids all week because my two younger kids now are up here at the ranch in Idaho with me. And I miss the whole family and I miss my grandkids so much. And I've been thinking about them all the time. And all I want is time with them. Father's Day is this weekend. Get your dad the gift of time. Now, there's another way to look at time. You can spend more time, and you can also give him more time. And one way to do that is 23andMe's Health and Ancestry Kit. It is, for a limited time, $50 off, and it gives your father time in the way of finding out if he has any genetic diseases that he's predisposed, like diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. His lifestyle choices based on his DNA. And they have ways that they can now look at your DNA and say, hey, you're predisposed to this. You should do this. You should eat this, blah, blah, blah. And you'll find that in 23andMe, their health and ancestry kit. Also, it is really cool because you get to see the ancestry of the family. And you get to discover things like, I never would have thought that I was Native American, but I am. I'm like 1.8% Native American, which makes me want to find out where that connection is. Where is that connection? I think that's so cool. You can now do all of these things, $50 off, but you have to do it for Father's Day. Father's Day, $50 off now at 23andme.com. That's 23andme, 23andme.com/back. That's where you'll get the special, 23andme.com/back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Charlie Kirk's going to be on with us in just a few minutes. Talk about, I think, one of the most important things that we can do as conservatives to save the republic. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Also, I want to talk a little bit more about Father's Day next hour. But I want to talk to you about Father's Day here. You know, there is another gift that you could give Dad, and that is a trip to our pop-up museum here in about a month. It's at the end of this month and the first week of July. And we're doing it at our studios. And if Dad listens to this show or is a lover of history, this is going to be an amazing pop-up museum again from Mercury One. We do this once a year. I think it's been 2 years, though, since we've done one. And we invite you into our studios. You can get your tickets online at mercuryone.org. You can get a special tour with me. All the proceeds, by the way, all go to charity, to the Nazarene Fund, to Mercury One's, you know, emergency operations, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's making a dime off of this, but you can come on a special tour with me or David Barton or Stu is going to be giving you a tour, which Dad will learn absolutely nothing. But he'll have a lot of laughs. Mm-hmm. No, he'll have a lot of laughs.
And we'll be throwing things at Jeffy at the end of it. So I don't think you have that in any of your tours.
So it's good. No, we don't throw anything at Jeffy. Mm. Join us for the museum, and it makes a great Father's Day gift. You can get your tickets now at mercuryone.org. I don't even know what general admission is. But it's not real expensive, you can bring the whole family. If you'd like to do a special tour, just look on the website there and you can find the special tours. But it makes a great Father's Day gift. All right. The idea that our Electoral College will be gone this next election seems to most people a pipe dream, but I don't think it is. And Charlie Kirk doesn't either, and we'll have him explain what exactly is going on while no one is looking.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
You know, I know that you've heard this probably your whole life. This is the most important election ever. Yeah, I hear that every 4 years. And every year it does seem like it is true each time, but it's getting more and more true. And you've heard, this is the biggest threat to freedom, and we've heard that forever. However, I'm going to present something to you that I think is the biggest threat to our freedom, because it is the closest to happening. And we'll go there with Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, you gotta love America. You want to win a new gun? I'm giving away a new gun right now with the USCCA. In fact, we're giving 17 new guns away, and they could be anything. They could be a Glock. They could be a Sig. They could be, I don't know, a Kimber or an AR-15. But what you have to do is register to win one of those guns from the USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association. What they do is they educate, they train, and they protect responsibly armed Americans just like you. This is really a great group that you should look into. Every day, what they want to do is just introduce themselves to you. So they're asking you to text the word GLENN to the number 87222. It's 100% secure. Official rules are on their webpage. But you will see that they're just giving away a gun, different gun every day. And so you have to register to win today's gun by midnight. USCCA, gun a day giveaway, ends the 21st. Is that today? No, today's the 7th. When is the... That's a
today's
week
the 14th,
from Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today's the 14th. The gun disappears at midnight tonight, giving away a gun a day. So go right now and text the word Glenn to the number 87222 right now. 87222, text the word Glenn.
Do you know who's in control? If you see them, let them know that I'm looking for direction, something solid I can hold.
I want to welcome to the program a new friend and a guy who has been with Turning Point USA. He is the founder and the president of Turning Point USA. He is a guy that I've met a lot of. I want to be really careful. 25-year-old kids that have come up and they have suddenly newfound power and they don't have any idea what they're dealing with. They're not responsible. They're exactly who I would have been at 25. Just not responsible with that kind of influence and power. Very few are really reflective and turn out like Ben Shapiro. I remember when Ben Shapiro was on my show, he was, I think, 18 years old. And he hasn't changed. He was a 50-year-old when he was 18. He's still 50 at, 31? Charlie Kirk is, I think, one of the most well-thought-out and gentlemen, biggest gentlemen I have met. Very, very humble when you meet him in person. And yet he is single-handedly, with his group Turning Point USA, changing the world. He is largely responsible, in my opinion, for the Trump victory. He is largely responsible for what is happening on the campuses in a good way. But he's here to talk about something that we have to pay attention to. And I want to engage you on this because we need your help to save the Republic. And that is not hyperbole to say that. Welcome to the program, Charlie Kirk.
Thank you so much, Glenn, and thank you for the kind words. Greatly appreciated. Thank you.
You bet. So, Charlie, explain what the left is doing. And they're doing this. They're doing it openly, but no one really is covering this in the detail that it should be covered because it changes everything overnight.
That's correct. And so ever since Donald Trump won the presidency, the left has been enacting several full frontal assaults on our core institutions. That's why they enacted the Russia hoax via Mueller. This is why they've continued the propaganda campaign in the media. But most importantly, this one of the components that hasn't gotten much media coverage at all is how the Democrats realized that the system of which we elect a president needs to change. That the system of decentralized elections, the system that gives a voice to middle America, not Manhattan and Malibu, that system is a barrier, is a hindrance towards their quest for total control and for deconstruction of our country and for redefinition of our country. So what am I talking about here? They want to get rid of the Electoral College. Sorry, go ahead.
So, Charlie, explain to people, because there's a lot of people, especially your age, that say, hey, we want a democracy. People are screaming for that now in Europe. You know, direct vote, direct democracy. Make the case to those who are in the cities who believe differently and believe in democracy, because they've been raised thinking that's what we are. Make the case that that's a bad thing.
Happy to. So first of all, we're not a democracy. That's one of the most important things we have to teach the next generation. Bernie Sanders says it almost every single day, and we fall into this linguistic trap, and we almost begin to believe the lies of the left that we are a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, and we use the democratic means to elect individuals and representatives. Now, what's the difference? A constitutional republic recognizes certain natural rights that can't be taken away just because the mob wants those to be taken away. And in the Federalist Papers, the Founding Fathers realized and recognized the potential danger of the tyranny of the mob. One of the big historical fallacies that is taught to students is that America was the first exercise in quote-unquote democracy. That's just not true. Mm-mm. It was tried many times before. Cicero, who I believe is the most important thinker and writer, who was Consul of Rome for 1 year, warned against the tyranny of the majority, warned against that total outright mobocracy, essentially, would turn into class warfare. He argued that the middle class needs representation that first and foremost recognizes their natural rights. And so what the Electoral College has done over a long period of time is it forces the states, first of all, it recognizes the sovereignty of the states. It recognizes that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. And it allows the states to appropriate their electors as they see fit. Now, this is really important because each state might have a different way that they want to send their electors to the Electoral College. So, for example, two states right now, Maine and Nebraska, they carve out one of their congressional districts that allow the winner of that congressional district to maybe be different than the entire voice of the state. So, for example, Donald mm-hmm. Trump won a singular electoral vote in Maine in 2016. Mm-hmm. In 2008, Barack Obama won a singular electoral vote in Nebraska when he won that eastern Nebraska congressional seat when he won that. Now, what does that mean? It means that voices that otherwise would not have had as big of a platform all of a sudden are now competitive in the national election and discourse. And what's happening now is actually predicted and prophesized by the Founding Fathers in the Federalist Papers and the construction of our country, where you have the exacerbation of the coastal elites that want to then enact their viewpoint and their ivory tower philosopher king agenda over middle America and middle class America. And that's most important because the needs and wants of Malibu and Manhattan are not the needs and wants of Michigan and Missouri. So how do we peacefully go about this without turning ourselves into factions and pitting people against each other? Well, the only way you could possibly come to compromise and build big base coalitions is through the decentralization of elections, which is what the Electoral College offers. And you look at other countries that just have straight mobocracies, as I call it, it's not going so well, is it? For example, in France, no one can possibly say that the ideas that were rooted in the French Revolution have been better for human freedom and prosperity than the ideas rooted in the American Revolution or the Scottish Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And what we have right now is the left realizes that the idea of decentralized control, the protection of the individual and states' rights, it is a hindrance. It's almost an annoyance and an obstacle for them to be able to get the power that they wish, that they want to get. And so what they're doing right now, just to talk very specifically, Glenn, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this with your audience, because this is not theory. This is not something, oh, the left wants to do this. The left is doing this, and they're getting help from far too many Republicans. I would venture a guess that many people in your audience don't know that 15 states have already passed what's called the Interstate National Vote Compact. What does that mean? 15 states have essentially passed through the state legislators and signed by the governor, agreeing that their electoral votes will be given to the winner of the national popular vote. So in short, the left, with the help of far too many Republicans, it tends to be a trend, isn't it, Glenn? It seems like Republicans tend mm-hmm. to agree so go along with the left far too often. They have realized that they're not going to be able to get this through Congress, that they're not going to be able to get this to the House of Representatives or through a constitutional amendment. So instead, they saw their window to go through the states. Since the states are allowed to appropriate their electors however they see fit, it could be on how they do it now, or they could do it how Maine and Nebraska does it, or they could do it as something.
Any way they want.
Whoever wins the World Series, that's silly. So
what the left is trying to do is perfectly legal. It's perfectly constitutional and perfectly legal.
I would believe so. There are some scholars that think it isn't. I actually don't agree. I actually think it's perfectly legal. I think the framers allowed this sort of window to go through the states. It's hard. It's difficult. Now, let's talk specifically. It's already passed 15 states, Glenn. Now, this does not go into action until they hit that magical 270 number, that 270 number. They're right at about 200 right now, and on Wednesday, 2 days ago, Oregon just signed it into law. So I want you to think about that. This is sweeping the country. Now, the Democrat governor of Nevada, Steve Sisolak, vetoed it a week and a half ago. Good on him. He has more bravery than most Republicans. A Democrat governor of Nevada, it accelerated to the House and to the Senate, and he surprisingly vetoed it. This is now being discussed in states such as Maine, Minnesota, North Carolina, and Ohio. They are 70 votes away from changing the way that we elect a president. And what does that mean?
So let's go through those. Maine will absolutely do that. Let's go through these state by state. Where do we have a chance of turning the tide? Let's look at state by state.
Yeah, and so Maine is now discussing it again in their house, and will eventually try to kick it up to the governor. And it would be just so foolish, Glenn, for Maine to do this, because you talk about a state that actually respects the idea of the individual generally, and has not necessarily always gone along with the traditional Northeastern stereotype of leftism. Mm-hmm. It'd be such a mistake for them to give up their sovereignty and the attention that they're able to get to the mob, the people that have nothing to do with their needs, wants, or desires. The other one is Minnesota. They're trying to introduce, they've already introduced this into Minnesota. And the other one that we have to keep a very close eye on in a rapidly changing state in a variety of ways, that if we're asleep at the wheel, this state will become a blue state, is Arizona. It's been introduced into Arizona State House. It's getting far too much traction in Arizona. And Arizona, of course, just elected Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Donald Trump did not win a majority of votes in Arizona back in 2016. He only won, I think, 49.1%. I could look up the exact number. More specifically, North Carolina. North Carolina is another dangerous state with a Democrat governor and with very weak Republicans. And that's a dangerous and lethal combination.
All right. So what do people need to do, Charlie? They need to call. If you're in Arizona, North Carolina, Maine, you need to organize yourself again. You need to get on your phone with your legislature and your state senate and say, stop this. Your governor's office, do not pass this. Right?
That's correct. Yes. And so at Turning Point USA, we're the nation's largest student organization focused on the Constitution and American exceptionalism. And so we feel it's incumbent on us to fight for this as hard as we can. And so our website, tpusa.com, you'll be able to find some resources of what you can do to get engaged and involved on this fight. And we're part of what I found, Glenn, which is always gives me such hope for the future of this country, is that this is already organically kind of being fought through some great grassroots activists in these states. And we're already connecting with them and giving them some resources and funding. And that's what I love about America, is that whenever there is a crisis, individuals tend to voluntarily and almost magically step up. And now we need to give them a call to action. And that is a uniquely American virtue and value, that when there is crisis, our patriots step up time and time again. But now we have to raise the sense of urgency on this.
I will tell you, Charlie, I've talked to you about this for a few weeks, and I have told you that this audience is a remarkable audience. They're the most giving. They are the hardest working. And I don't say this to dismiss any other audiences, because I know the power of other audiences. This one's just different, and they will engage. And so I urge you, please, this will make the entire election and everything you're about to go through
worthless in the end if they get up to 270. It's got to be stopped. Maine, Minnesota, Arizona, North Carolina are the ones that are closest, but they're working this everywhere. So please get involved. If you can, donate money for this to TPUSA. Go to tpusa.com. That's Turning Point USA. TPUSA. Charlie is really leading this, and I look to him on how we can assist Turning Point to be able to stop this, because this changes us overnight and really forever. I think we lose this, we lose. We lose.
That's right.
Charlie?
Exactly right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for the opportunity. Thank you.
You bet. Charlie Kirk, TPUSA. Back in 1 minute. I want to talk to you a little bit about the cruise we're going to be taking. We're going up to Athens and Venice, and then we're going down to the Middle East. We're going to the Holy Land, and we are thrilled that we are going to be joined with Rabbi Lappin, who is, you will learn stuff about the ancient world that will boggle your mind. There is nothing like, if you think you know the Bible, you don't know anything about the Bible until you've actually been taught the Old Testament by a rabbi. The oral traditions of the Jewish people on the Old Testament, just remarkable. And Christians generally don't get any of it. But he's going to take us through the Holy Land. We have David Barton there, who is going to really kind of focus, I hope, on the Republic and a democracy when we're in Athens. And then we're going to also be in Venice, and I will focus on the pulling of the world out of darkness and how it was just a few brave men that stood and did it. That's our cruise through history, and it makes a great Father's Day gift if your family wants to get together and pool their money. You can find out all of the information. The tickets are going really rapidly. We may be out of VIP passes. I'm not sure, but that's when you get a personal tour, you know, of some of these cities with me or with, you know, whoever. But there's groups and things that we're going to be doing all on the ship. So make sure you get your tickets now before they're all gone. ComeSailAway.com. That's ComeSailAway.com. They are going fast. Great Father's Day gift. Get it now. ComeSailAway.com. 10 seconds, station ID. You know, I'm really excited for tomorrow. Tomorrow we have James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian. These are these two scientists that you might know. They're part of the intellectual dark web. And they're the guys who have been taking on academia. And I mean taking it on to their own detriment. They are pariahs now. They are not people that would normally be saying, hey, I want to go on the Glenn Beck program. And quite honestly, with Peter, he is a very big atheist. Not somebody that I would have been comfortable that we would have been able to have a good conversation, because, you know, sometimes when you're militant as a Christian or militant as an atheist, the whole thing falls apart. And I thought he was more militant than he was. We talk about it. He dragged me right into faith, or maybe I dragged him into it. I don't think so, but maybe I did. And we came to this understanding on truth. And once we got there, everything else is simple, is truly simple. You're going to love this search for truth. It airs tomorrow on our podcast, so you'll be able to get that. Just download it at iTunes. Sign up for it right now and make sure you review and you rate, because that helps the algorithms share it to other people. But it's Lindsay and Boghossian. And let me, do we have time to do subjective truths here, or do we have to wait till the other side of the break? We have 1 minute, so nothing is 1 minute. So we'll get to that
We'll get to that after the bottom of the hour. Also, I want to talk to you a little bit about Father's Day.
Yeah, it was a great interview, Glenn, that with Bogosian and Lindsay. There, I mean, think of how difficult that was for them to do, to come up with fake studies to just shine a light on how ridiculous the peer review process was in this climate about things like feminism and transgenderism and all these social sciences. This is basically an impossible stand for someone on the left to take. And they took it because they actually care, right? They actually care if this stuff is right, if this process is legitimate. And you need people like that standing up on the other side to take on their own side.
It's weird. I think we talked about it on the podcast. We may have talked about it afterwards. But they know that, you know, should truth lose, they'll be one of the first that will be caught up in a purge. They know it. They're very well aware of it. And they have a healthy fear, but they're not going to stop.
Glenn Beck.
Brave people. All right. LifeLock sponsor. Privacy, number one concern for most people, privacy. And that's really because smart devices, everything is open now. There are not going to be any secrets. Well, when you have all of these people getting into your life, we know this because of what Facebook is doing. They sell that information. The reason why Facebook is free to you, think about, how do they make their money? Well, partly advertising, but how do they get the advertising? They sell you. They say this person is interested in a new car, and they sell that to all these car companies that want to advertise. That you're a product and they're making money off of you. It is wrong. In today's connected world, everything is out in the open, and you can't afford your personal information, your banking information, et cetera, to be exposed, and it's easy to get. That's why LifeLock is there. Now, they can't prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but LifeLock is the best. Get 10% off your first year by using promo code Beck at 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com.
You can also go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. Get $10 off your membership to Blaze TV today.
James Lindsay, Peter Bogosian, you may not know these names. If you don't, you should. These guys are scientists. One's a mathematician. The other one is a, what is he? Scientists of, I can't remember. But they're deep, deep thinkers, and they are traditionally on the left, but they're really not. I think they're constitutionalists. They both believe deeply in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they've seen their side, if you will, if you want to attach sides, the people they thought they were with, change into something that is not based in science, is not based in truth, and in fact based in brutishness and mob rule, and they don't like it. And they've seen the educational complex just start to teach things that are not true, just not based in any reality. And so they started to push back against that. And these are the guys that wrote those papers, they changed Mein Kampf into a feminist paper, and it was immediately pushed through. And they did all of these white papers trying to get them peer reviewed, and they got a lot of them peer reviewed, and they're in big trouble for it now. So what do they do? Well, they keep on going, and they came on my show for the podcast, which is Saturday. Tomorrow, you'll be able to get this. I'm going to play a couple of clips for you. This is James Lindsay and Peter Bogosian on subjective truth. Listen.
They look at speech as a form of violence. They do not want you to come on campus. What are you going to do on campus? Are you going to start lobbing grenades? No. They don't want you to come on campus because they think that there's something in two reasons. One, intrinsically dangerous about your ideology. But and coupled with that is this idea, and Jim can speak to this, is they look at truth as a form, they look at speech as a form of violence. Speech is not a form of violence. And the moment you start thinking that speech in violence are synonymous, you destroy the Enlightenment project. You give up any possibility you have to leading a better life. That's the death of hope, is the failure to be an honest broker in conversations with people with whom you have substantive political, moral, and moral disagreements.
Yeah. To wheel it back a bit, this subjective turn, as Pete was calling it, this is a rise of subjectivity. What is truth? And he talked about there being the objective world, and then we have ways to know, usually science, mm-hmm. what's going on in the objective world. And then you have the subjective world. So he doesn't like pepperoni on his pizza. He said that's a subjective truth. That is his truth.
Yes.
It is, in fact, a real fact about the entity of Peter Boghossian. Whatever that happens, I don't know if you really like pepperoni or not. I thought you did.
I'm trying not to eat meat, you know, but yeah.
We've got a lot. He doesn't like pepperoni and he eats Beethoven.
That's, yeah.
We're narrowing you down.
That's right. We got a finger on you now.
Yeah.
But when people speak about their subjective truths, what they are speaking about is something that they know about themselves that they cannot possibly be wrong about because it's right. about themselves.
Correct.
And so at that point, there is no conversation to be had. Now, the problem is when you start blurring those two worlds, when you right. start saying that one subjective truth, one's experience in the world and their in your own interpretation of that experience somehow trumps the ability to do an outside measurement of that or to take another view of it. And that's where we're seeing the breakdown in conversation.
Let me play a couple of others. Here's James Lindsay on silencing of voices.
They should be focusing on differences of opinion, differences of perspective. So if it's in a kind of an extreme example, but you may, for example, have a philosophy department and they have a particular problem that, you know, they're hashing out. Bring a mathematician in. They have a completely different way to look at it. Does it matter if the mathematician's white, black, Asian? No, it doesn't matter. Bring a mathematician in. They have a different way of thinking about it. Now you're looking at something in the political sphere. You're looking at immigration or you're looking at, you know,
yeah.
anything, guns. You're looking at any topic. You need somebody who's representing the different perspectives. So what's the conservative perspective? What's the libertarian perspective? What's a liberal perspective? What's a progressive
diversity? That's diversity.
I'm a self-educated guy.
Right.
Couldn't afford to go to college for very long. Right. Okay, so I went to the library, and I read Alan Dershowitz and Adolf Hitler. I mean, I would go for I'd look for the people who had the most diverse possible viewpoints on things yeah. and read them and knew that if they intersect anywhere, if there's anything there, okay, we know that one line right. is true
right.
because they yeah. both agree. And then you just kind of whittle yourself in.
Yeah.
It's why we don't burn books,
yeah.
and yet we're burning people and burning thoughts
and erasing their legacy. So that
cancel
it's a
culture.
Cancel culture. It's the same as burning
books.
What's
a cancel culture?
Well, if you're too problematic, you get canceled. Like you'd cancel a TV show, but then you make sure that all of the, you know, it's not available on Netflix anymore. You can't get the old, you know, DVDs even.
So I've called that digital ghettoization.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you put them behind a wall.
That's today's
book Jews burning. Can talk all you want behind right. that wall. No one's right. going to see you or hear you.
Right.
But yeah, sure, you're behind that wall. That's what's happening.
There's a lot of that, yeah. This is the modern book burning. This is modern book burning. When you take, say, a body of work from somebody who you've deemed problematic, and then you erase that body of work to where people can't access it anymore, people can't engage with it, you deplatform them and don't let them speak. You deny them their, you know, you erase their Patreon or something. So if they had that, so they can't make money doing what they're doing. They have to go find something else to do. It's the equivalent of book burning. So we are there, and that needs to be stopped. I don't know any other way to say it. It just needs to be stopped. We need to have, you know, we need to welcome a diversity of opinion. You know, one of the most interesting thoughts that crossed my mind this year is a guy I was talking to in February. He told me he sets aside 1 month a year. It's usually August, I think he said, but I don't know, it's arbitrary. He sets aside 1 month a year to read opinions he explicitly disagrees with.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he reads. So he's a libertarian guy. So for an entire month, all he does is he digs into the kind of either conservative or liberal or progressive or whatever mm-hmm. thought he doesn't mm-hmm. agree with. And what he tries to do is tries to find, and this is the key, tries to find the most sense he can make out of that and then bring that back to his own worldview.
Mm. One last. Here's Boghossian and Lindsay on honest conversations.
Nobody.
Not in our lives.
Not in our lives.
I mean, people, since we've come out.
People on, quote, whatever our side should be, aren't inviting us on their shows. They're not talking to us. They're
heaping. Up to two left-wing outlets since October.
They're heaping derision on us. Like, you know, so when we did the atheist thing, everyone was like, oh, you know, you guys are just liberals or whatever. Well, they were right. But now that we've done this and that we've attacked kind of our own tribe or our own side, and the reason is, even though I share a lot of those impulses, that doesn't mean you get to make stuff up. That doesn't mean you get to pretend that something is knowledge. Like, we really need to have something we can count on, something we can go to, something we can point to, and then we can squabble over public policy. Yeah. But we need to have things that we can point to and say, hey, you know what? We know this. This has been, we've come about this, the integrity of this process is intact. You don't have to worry about
it. The process needs to be defended.
Yeah, the process needs to be defended. And that's the other thing that we've lost. So I really do appreciate you inviting us on, you having a sincere and honest conversation with us. And that's exactly what we need. And we're not having it.
Yep. So can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. I've wanted to have a conversation with Bernie Sanders forever. And the reason why? He's honest about what he is.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, for a politician, like, he's been forever. Yeah, I'm a socialist. Yeah, I honeymooned in the Soviet Union. Yeah. I can have a conversation with a guy like that.
You're going to go, you're going to go to hell. Same kind of a thing. Like, people are honest about what they believe. They're forthright in their speech. The Greeks call it parrhesia, speaking truth in the face of danger. If you said something that
there shouldn't, I don't think there should be danger.
Me too.
When you're exploring truth.
I agree.
If you're honest brokers.
Totally agree. And, you know, when you said you mentioned Dershowitz and Hitler, and I thought the first thing I thought was, oh, God, is, you know, 5,000 people are going to say, you know, Glenn loves Hitler now. So, but there is a danger, and the danger is that, you know, like, I'll be around Portland State University, and I'll walk around, and I'll see a picture of me with this huge, grotesque villain nose saying, you know, with the little thought bubbles, saying, you know, I'm pro-life, Republican, love Trump. None of those things are actually true. And so the dangers that they attack our motivations, they attack me for things that I don't even believe. There's something that
is... The danger is also that we let them get away with something we should all be standing up and saying no to, which is, let's suppose even that they're 100% morally right. Okay, let's just pretend that their views are 100% morally right. If they can't actually articulate that, if they have to force it upon us, then they're still wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to articulate it. They must be able to articulate it in a way that's convincing. That's the rules of engagement.
You are going to love this conversation. It is really rare to hear conversations like this, and this is why we started this podcast. I don't do a podcast with a bunch of people that I agree with. You know, there's sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But everyone on the podcast has an open mind and is willing to have conversations that you do not ever hear anyplace else. So listen to the podcast. It's free. You just have to go to, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. I get them from Apple. So I go to Apple iTunes and download the podcast and sign up for it. You need to subscribe to it so it's delivered to you. And then you also need, if you will, I ask that you would review and rate it. It's really important. Those reviews and ratings are what helps the algorithm push it up the charts. And it's very difficult for a podcast that has been around, because my radio is the podcast. This is the Saturday edition of the podcast. And it's so large and been out there for so long, it's hard to move up spots because of the history. So we really need you to rate and review the podcast, because that will help it move up and other people will be able to discover it. That's the podcast wherever you get your podcast, the Glenn Beck podcast, and that it comes out tomorrow. I'm going to do something a little odd on Monday. I'm going to talk about Father's Day on Monday. I have lots to share about it. But I thought some perspective after this holiday would be sharpening of my senses on Father's Day and what I have learned and what I have seen and what I know is true about my children and family. That's on Monday. Right now, if you're looking for a Father's Day gift, 23andMe might be exactly the thing you're looking for. 23andMe has a health and ancestry kit. For a limited time, you can get $50 off the 23andMe health and ancestry kit through June 17th. That is next Friday. Give Dad a unique gift that is as unique as he is. Give him a gift of insight to see where his traits come from, to see the genetic reports and insights on how, you know, mosquito bite frequency, motion sickness, fear of heights, all these crazy insights that you're like, really, genetics? Also give the gift that shows Dad you care, a wellness report. It'll give him more time to be with you. It'll help him understand what he is possibly facing in the future, health-wise, and what he can do to, you know, avoid those things. And the gift of discovery. And to me, this is one of the best things. You explore your DNA from over 1,000 regions worldwide. It's the most comprehensive genetic ancestry breakdown on the market. And you can even opt in to connect with people who share Dad's DNA. You're going to find people who are related to you. You had no idea you were related to, and that's an opt-in. You can do it or not do it. You can just see the people, or you can see the people and go, yeah, I want to communicate with them. This Father's Day, get $50 off. It's 23andMe, their health and ancestry kit, at 23andMe.com/Beck. That's the number, 23andMe.com/Beck. Again, 23andMe.com/Beck. Offer ends June 17. Father's Day is Sunday. This is the Glenn Beck Program. It's Friday.
Going back to the clips from this week's podcast, Glenn, one point was really interesting to me, in that deplatforming someone from social media like they are now is really a pure example of book burning. You know, we've gone through this cycle where it's like, okay, you say something bad and you get fired from your job, but the stuff that you're known for still exists. This is legitimately taking your entire back catalog of opinion and thought and deleting it so that no one can even see the things that they used to approve that you said. It is like,
go back to the beginning of today's show. If you listen to the podcast and you're here, go back and listen to the beginning. What was that clip I played from Chernobyl where the KGB agent came into the scientist and said, no one's even going to know you were born, and anything that you did will be credited to someone else. I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this as if it's some ancient thing that happened, you know, under Hitler. Like, I mean, books were, you know, burned in Nazi Germany. We know that. But when you're getting rid of people's thought, when you're deleting their past views, that is you. That's showing that you're frightened. You're terrified of what they might be saying. Mm-hmm. And that is the same thing that we've seen from dictators all around the world.
Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, nobody's going to march in with a Nazi uniform and expect everybody to believe it's good. It always changes and morphs. And book burning wasn't deemed bad back then because, well, you didn't have the Nazis around. And so you didn't have that reference. We're just book burning in a different way. And future generations will see deplatforming as book burning. And it's, imagine, when I worked for Fox, none of my shows that I did on Fox, I don't own any of them. So the vault in that library belongs to Fox. So they'll never be seen again unless Fox wants to make money off them or, you know, do something else. They'll never be seen again, and I don't own them. Now imagine if, because my contracts are like that, when you post on Facebook, they own that. If I didn't have the Blaze and there was a systematic effort to erase me, you'd never hear anything I ever did. You'd never see anything I ever did. That's what's happening. They're erasing people. And that's where we start on Monday's program. Erasing people. And how do we fill in those gaps?
You're listening to Glenn.